Let's Go to the Movies, an award season podcast. Welcome to season 4, episode 11. This will be my last review episode of this award season. And on today's episode, I will be discussing Triangle of Sadness and Women Talking. First on today's episode is Triangle of Sadness, directed by Ruben Östlund, has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 72% and a Letterboxd rating of 3.8 stars. So the plot of this movie is that it follows an influencer couple who goes on a cruise that eventually becomes shipwrecked. Now that is just a very minimal description of this plot. A lot more goes on, but it was kind of hard to kind of parse it down to just like a sentence. So that's what I came up with. Östlund has also directed The Square, Force Majeure, Play, Involuntary, among a few other shorts and videos and such like that. So this project was announced June 2017 and filming began in February 2020. It was paused March 26, 2020 due to COVID. So editing actually began during that time, during lockdown. And then production resumed in June 2020, but was halted again a week later, again due to COVID. Production picked up again September 2020 and then wrapped in November. So another one of the COVID-interrupted productions. The yacht that was used in the movie was actually formerly owned by Aristotle Onassis and Jackie Kennedy, which I thought was really cool. So the post-production for this film lasted 22 months, and then it premiered at Cannes on May 21st, 2022, had its North American premiere at the Toronto Film Festival on September 8th, 2022, and then Neon acquired the distribution rights over A24 Searchlight Focus and Sony Pictures Classics. The U.S. theatrical release was on October 7th, 2022. It's currently on video on demand. And it is Östlund's English language feature film debut. This is also, unfortunately, Charlie B. Dean's last film. She died in August 2022 due to health issues. She plays Yaya in the movie. And that is something that I did not know in regards to her until I had seen it and read a little bit about it. And that was really surprising and upsetting to hear. But moving into the movie story a little bit, the title of this film, of course, if you see it, they kind of reference it immediately. It's referring to the worry wrinkle that occurs between your eyebrows that can be corrected with Botox. So read into that how you want to. Kind of interesting once you watch the movie. This film did win the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival, the Palme d'Or. This movie sits really weird with me. It still does. I saw it like a week or so ago, and I just, like, it feels like it's just tattooed in my brain. I don't think I liked it, but I do understand it, and I respect it. I described it to a friend as when I saw The Lobster, which came out a few years ago. I felt very unsettled, and I couldn't get it out of my head, and that's how this feels to me. It's a very sharp satire and a black comedy, if you will. There were a lot of reviews saying this was like the funniest movie they saw all year. But I don't think that was me. Like, I laughed a little, but I didn't feel like I was laughing the whole time. It is set up as three parts. And I did read an article talking about how that structure does resemble a triangle, which of course makes sense. And then the plot kind of does reach its high point by Act Two, which of course would be the top point of the triangle. So going into it with that mindset might help a little bit, because it kind of starts, action increases, and then it all kind of declines towards the third act. Now the title, as I mentioned, is of course a Botox reference, which is spoken out loud at the beginning during a model casting call. And also during that scene, they're kind of mocking the model world and having them like act like they're posing for H&M and then posing for Balenciaga. And it's just kind of tongue in cheek about that world and that culture and lifestyle. The movie is very much a literal kind of, well, not super literal. But it is very much a kind of an eat the rich vibe, but like on steroids. Like, it feels like The Menu, but dialed way, way, way up. The menu would be the more literal eat the rich. That's what I realized as I was saying all that. So part one is called Yaya and Carl. It's literally just kind of following those two at the end of a dinner and them kind of having this discussion about money and responsibilities and expectations in a relationship related to money and the gender dynamics. Very awkward. It's very, very, very awkward because if you've ever had that type of conversation with someone, you know that it's awkward. And that's essentially, it was just kind of setting the tone of their dynamic. And yet how, despite all of that, they kind of still stuck together for the Instagram likes and like the publicity and the attention. Moves into part two, the yacht. And if you haven't seen this movie, do not eat any food during this part of the movie. You will regret doing so. It's probably the cringiest stuff I've ever seen in a movie. Spoiler alert coming up. There's just a lot of puking and a lot of disgusting scenes related to puking on the ship. And it's just disgusting. I had to close my eyes a lot. And I think this is the part where the idiocracy of the wealthy is kind of on full display. And also just kind of delves more into those ideas of Marxism and socialism during this part. And this is also where we kind of got the vibes of the menu, like the movie. We're like, wait a second, is this like the menu? Like Eat the Rich vibe? Like, is that what's happening here? And it's very just, again, just kind of tongue in cheek. Like these wealthy people are having this really, really atrocious time, but they're still trying to act like it's this high end, lavish experience going on. It's just, it's disgusting. But I know that that's the point. But I just cannot shake it out of my head. The ship also, towards the end of this part of the film, blows up via a grenade that is thrown onto the ship from some pirates. And why this part is ironic is that it's actually going to be one of the grenades that is part of a weapons factory that a couple on the ship owns. So lots of irony there. Gave me a good chuckle. Then that moves you into part three, the island. And then this is where all of the roles are reversing. Like the toilet cleaning lady becomes like the captain and the leader. Carl starts exchanging sexual favors for pretzel sticks. And it becomes very tense amongst the people. And one of the people that survive goes out and kills a donkey, thinking that he's being all heroic and helpful. And it ends up becoming just as tragic of a moment for him. This is where it kind of slows a little too. Like it, you're kind of like just like, okay, wondering, oh, how is this going to end? When is this going to end by this point? The ending of the film, they do, so Yaya and Abigail, who's the toilet cleaning lady, they go off looking for something, anything. They end up finding a luxury resort beach entrance, which is also very ironic that, you know, like ultimately what is going to save them is the wealthy people. But it is then suggested that Abigail murders Yaya to avoid being rescued since she has actual status and clout on this island. It's one of those very kind of vague, open-ended type of interpretation endings. Like, you don't know for sure, but that's heavily suggested to me. And it kind of mirrors the scene of them killing the donkey with the stone. So it's got kind of like a full circle-ish kind of moment there. My friend that I saw this with, I asked her, like, give me like a one-sentence review of what you think of it. And she says, quote, "It is a dark, gross comedy about class, and I did not find it funny." So that is a very direct review of this film. And I, for the most part, agree with that. It's one of those ones where it makes you wonder if the class level that you are in influences the way you watch this. But as I mentioned, though, it is imprinted on my mind still. And I don't want it there. It's just there. I straight up think this is the least palatable of the Best Picture nominees. I don't know, like I say, I don't know if the class level you are factors into that. Being distinctly middle class, I don't know if I fully identify with any of it. I try to, of course, and like I said, I do respect what it's saying, and I think I want to say that a lot of people in the industry probably like this because they are wealthy people. Like, I read a review on Letterboxd that was essentially like, the irony is not lost on me that I watched this movie at Cannes. And it was basically about the people I was sitting with at this festival. So it's like that kind of vibe. But I don't know. It's one of those ones that I don't know. Someone might like it. Someone might hate it. I really don't know. It's going to have to be one of those things that you just give it an attempt if it intrigues you at all. Conveniently, it is available as of this past few days on Hulu. It's on video on demand, and then it's probably still trickling around a few theaters if you are so bold to want to see it in that format. But it is also nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Original Screenplay. I personally don't think it's going to win anything, but it might be one of those weird dark horse things that just kind of sneaks up and takes something. So I guess we'll have to see. But yeah, I would say this is probably one that I wrestled with the most this season and not really finding something like super, super like attached that I enjoyed about it. Like I couldn't find something to latch onto to really, really, really be like, that is why I like this movie. So I had to kind of be objective with it and just try to like step back and be like, okay, what is the point? What are they trying to say? That's likely what's making this a good film. But yeah, this is definitely one I wrestled with. And I'm still thinking about it to this day, trying to decide if my opinion has changed. But I don't think it has so far. So yeah, very weird review. Hopefully you're able to follow that to some degree. If you are able to give it a chance, I hope you enjoy it. That was Triangle of Sadness. Moving right along to the next film of today's episode, Women Talking, directed by Sarah Polley, Rotten Tomatoes score of 91% and a Letterboxd rating of 3.8 stars. So the plot of this film is that it's following the women of a religious colony that realize the men have been attacking them and must decide if they're going to stay and fight or leave. Sarah Polley has also directed Stories We Tell, Take This Waltz, Away From Her, and then several other shorts and videos. So this movie is based on a 2018 novel by Miriam Towse, inspired by real-life events of the Manitoba Colony, which was a Mennonite community in Bolivia. It was reported to be in production as early as December 2020, and then filming lasted from July 19th through September 10th, 2021, in Toronto. Had its world premiere September 2nd, 2022 at Telluride Film Festival, and then had a limited theatrical release December 23rd, 2022, with a wide release following January 27th of 2023. I read that the release of it was actually delayed a few weekends to avoid a direct competition with Avatar, The Way of Water. Thought that was kind of interesting. Had its video on demand release on February 21st, 2023, and it's also currently streaming on Amazon Prime. This was actually the last film released by United Artists before Amazon ceased those distributor operations and folded them into the MGM company Orion. So this movie, it's very literally just women talking like the whole time. They're basically just debating and discussing whether they should stay or they should leave after discovering that they've all been, all of them, all the generations, in the nighttime, they get tranquilized with horse tranquilizers by all the men, and then they all get attacked and sexually assaulted. And so it's just them realizing what's happened to them finally and trying to decide what action they're going to take. But it is an incredible conversation about moral dilemma surrounding like sexual abuse, religion, like a woman and a mother's duty, and like the impact of a decision on a whole group. So it's like a lot of moments where I was like, oh, like that's a good point. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. So it's kind of almost like causing you to have some of these discussions in your own mind, if not with someone you might be watching it with. I found it just very profound and very intriguing. Kind of different. It's very like character driven. Like I feel like it could easily be a play. Like if that makes sense, like it's just a lot of people talking to each other, not as much action. It is narrated from a child's perspective to kind of like a future child, as if they're recounting this story and kind of like the history of these people. So it has like an opening card that says something along the lines of this is an imagining, which I also kind of appreciated, because if it were a story that was being recounted from like a child to like a sister or a younger person, you may not know the exact occurrences, but you'd be just reading like the minute notes or, you know, whatever records that you had. Also, of course, since it was a true story, but not necessarily, the outside world might not necessarily have known what the exact events were, I think I kind of respect that they called it that. No direct actions are shown. It's all just kind of small moments and recollections, like small memories, like side thoughts, which I thought was interesting too, because again, it's not very action driven. But I feel like if you were having a discussion or describing things, this is kind of how you would reflect on those things, just like these small flashes of them. So it was kind of bringing that to the viewer as well. The cinematography was really interesting. It had a very muted tone, kind of like a haziness in a way, almost like a sepia-like quality, like a very, very diluted color, like not really any color. And I think that was a really interesting choice too, just since the subject matter was so heavy, so you're not really focusing on what you're seeing per se. You're just really like engaged in this conversation. There was a line in the movie that was something like, we didn't have the language to talk about it, which also was intriguing to me because it was kind of like the point of the whole movie. It was like, how do you process something that you can't describe? So they're sitting there trying to discuss it all out, but they just don't have the language for it. And I just did. I found that pretty intriguing. Acting was solid. It was a very powerful film. I didn't really have a whole lot apart from those few notes, just because it's just a very simple story, a simple plot. Simple story in the sense that it's simple how it's being portrayed, just this discussion occurring. Of course, the subject matter is not at all simple. But I just think it was a really unique film, and kind of interesting how it got thrown in with Best Picture and all that this year. Because not one that I know really anyone that's seen either. But I do think it would be impactful to have people watch it. It's kind of how I felt like with Coda last year, like not fully in the same sentiment of the movie, but just like this is a movie that would kind of open people's eyes to something that they might not have considered. So yeah, I did enjoy it. I did find it sad, but very impactful. And I won't give away what they decide to do. If you've seen it, though, you know. This is nominated for Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay. And after seeing most of the films nominated this year, I honestly think it has a really strong chance of winning Adapted Screenplay. And I think that I wouldn't hate that if it did. Since the whole point of the movie is the dialogue and the language, it'd be kind of cool if the words used to tell the film like were recognized. So yeah, that's my very brief review on Women Talking. Again, it is available on Amazon Prime if you wanted to stream that. We'll just see if this one does any like sneaky dark horse stuff also at this year's show. But again, yes, that is Women Talking. On the next episode, I'm going to be doing my final recap before the award show and hashing out my final ballot picks for this year's Oscars. Thank you for listening today and for joining me on yet another trip to the movies.